Dear friends, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text this morning is the Gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter, John chapter 17, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus had spoken these things, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you." And then to verse 12. "While I was with them, I kept those you gave me safe in your name. I protected them, and not one of them was destroyed, except the son of destruction, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I am saying these things in the world so that they may be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth." This is the word of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, how do you spend your time in a hotel room? Before you come, do you make sure to set up a building inspector and make sure all the walls are well constructed, the floor and the ceiling, the plumbing and the electricity? Do you bring your toolkit just in case one of those things breaks so you can fix it? In a hotel room, do you look around and consider maybe purchasing a new bedroom set because you didn't really quite like this? This isn't what you'd want to live with for the night. Do you go out and find the biggest screen TV that would fit on the wall because that's how you'd like to kick it in this hotel room this evening and morning? Do you bring your lawnmower so you can cut the grass, maybe start a garden outside? Do you live in a temporary dwelling like it's your permanent residence? Well, no, absolutely not. That's not what a hotel room is for, is it? So, why do we live and set up our residence in this world like it's our home? Why do we set up what seems like a permanent residence, permanent type of behavior in this world when it's not a world that we belong to? I got some great reasons for you. Jesus mentions them. How about the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh? That's why we tend to do this. That's why we tend to pretend like this place is all there is, and we live like that even though we have the promises of a future, higher place to live, a better home to come. He mentions the devil with the words "evil one." That's what he asked the Father to protect his own from. He mentions the son of destruction or the son of perdition. That's referencing Judas, who allowed his sinful nature to take over, who doomed himself by his own actions, although it was predicted in the scriptures. And he mentions the world 9 times in our text. 9 times. You can count them. Just double check me. And it's not even starting in verse 12, but verses 13 to 19, he mentions the world 9 times. And each time he's referencing this world of unbelief and rejection. It's not like Jesus is weird about walking around in the world, or there are things he's not going to touch, or people he's not going to eat with or spend time with. It's the fact that this world around him and this world around us is a world of unbelief and destruction. So today, in this prayer that Jesus has prayed to the Father, a prayer that you and I get to overhear, Jesus gives us reasons to put our hope in something better than this place. He gives us reasons not to avoid the world, but today we learn from Jesus how to live in this world. And how to live in this world, especially when we belong to another world. We also learn what God is doing as He allows this world to, how much God loves us, as Jesus prayed this prayer before He even went to the cross. It's not a true ascension text, even though this past Thursday we've celebrated 40 days since Easter, so it's one of those church festivals we really know when it happened, because Easter is predictable according to the lunar calendar, and then 40 days more you have Jesus ascending into heaven. But there are some undertones of the ascension in our text. And as we look to our risen and ascended Lord, we get a lot of confidence in our God who loves us. Yet each of us is really called on to answer this question. And maybe from time to time it's good to hear this question again and answer it again with confidence and by faith alone. To what world do we belong? To what world do you belong? In order to examine this question, we're going to look at the drawbacks or disadvantages and the advantages or the benefits of this world. As I mentioned, John chapter 17 is really a special chapter of the Bible because you don't always get this. You don't always get insider intel on Jesus praying to the Father. Frequently, we're told in the Gospels that Jesus went off to pray. He was alone. He went apart from His disciples, apart from the crowds, and He prayed. But seldom do we get the actual prayer. And John chapter 17 is a whole prayer of Jesus. We took just a section of it where Jesus is praying for His own. We got John, the apostle, along with the other apostles who got to listen and write it down. And so we get some top secret truths for those who don't really belong in this world. And probably something that shouldn't have been news to the apostles, but that they were still wrestling with was the fact that Jesus wasn't going to be in this world any longer. He was on His way to His death, because His death was really our death, because He was going to the punishment for our sins. As a perfect, true God being, also true man, Jesus was going to go out of this world. And so a few times in our text you get this phrase, not of this world. There are some cool elements of this prayer that you and I can really embrace. Jesus prays that God's people would be protected, they would be safe. He prays that the Scripture would be fulfilled, that God's people would be filled with the joy of the Son. He prays that we would be sanctified by the truth, and that He would also send His people into the world. But what you don't get, the insider info that is missing, is what the Son didn't pray, that the Father would take us out of this world. He didn't pray that the Father would take His apostles out of this world. They were going to remain even though Jesus was on His way out of this world. Now, to some of us, that might actually, or maybe all of us in a way, might actually be kind of exciting. We don't have to leave the world. That's comfortable. We're used to this world. There are still things we want to do in this world. There are still places we want to go in this world. There are still accomplishments we want to achieve in this world. There are still people, times we'd like to have in this world. It also appeals to our sinful nature, because there are still some sins that part of us want to commit in this world. Sins of pleasure, sins of leisure, sins of business and workaholism, sins that excite us, sins that keep us going, sins that really help us get our arms around our reality in this world, idols that we'd like to worship in this world, Seems like at all costs, if anything should possibly threaten my life, I need to follow that thing that saves me from it. And it's discomforting to think that, well, maybe we're not of this world. But we're so addicted to this world. I think maybe another question to ask is, if we are called out of this world, if we're called to do things that are unusual in this world, can we quit it? Can we cut the addiction? And remember, those of us who live by faith really are of another world. We don't belong here. We're in this world, but we are of another. And we're drawn to a higher hope and a more beautiful place, a place with Jesus visibly. I think the other little secret about this prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17 is that he wasn't really leaving. He just wasn't going to be visible to the apostles anymore. His followers wouldn't get to see him in the flesh anymore. But Jesus would still be with them. Because while this world seems to be all we kind of know and can touch, we see it and we taste it and we smell it and we hear it, it's really a subset of God's larger kingdom of power. In God's world, he's in charge. And he embraces us under his power to protect us. And the Father answers Jesus' prayer of protecting his own in the world. The Son wasn't really leaving it. But he was going to a place where our benefits of being a part of his kingdom would actually increase. Things would get better for those of us not of this world. And so you see the Son really emphasizing what makes us not of this world. He prays for us. Guess what? If you are of this world, Jesus isn't really praying for you, because he's praying for those who are not of this world. Just think about that. What a benefit it is to think that we don't belong here. We belong to people who are of Jesus' kingdom. And a great benefit of that is he prays for us. Just think, God the Son speaking to God the Father on our behalf, asking for our forgiveness for each and every sin, telling him how much he loves us, explaining to him once again his suffering on the cross and his substitutionary atonement for us. Not because God the Father forgot it, but because God the Son loves us this much that his attention is laser focused on you and I. That he's gone to the cross to prepare a place for us that is with the Son and the Father. And so we discover tools in this prayer. Tools that the Son gives to us just by his very words that the apostles overheard. The world says, you need no foundation. The Son says, you have my word. The scripture must be fulfilled. You have the word, and the word sanctifies you. The world says, you belong here. Jesus says, you belong to my kingdom. You belong to my place. You're a part of what I own and rule over. And I'm the king who's in control of everything that happens in your life. The world says, come on, don't you just want to be a regular, normal person and not some extremist Christian? Jesus says, Father, sanctify them. Which I think is a great answer to those who would claim we're extremist, because in a way, for God to set us apart, that is to sanctify, or to make us holy, that's really the same thing as being extreme, only with a positive connotation. If someone calls you extremist, well then you feel kind of like, well that's a negative thing for you to say. But the fact of the matter is, we are extreme, because the Father has made us that way. Through the work of the Son and the sending of the Holy Spirit, he has set us apart to very extreme things that this world doesn't like. He's made us a part of his kingdom. He's given us promises that people receive, sinners receive, only by faith. And we don't have to find inside of ourselves the fuel for those promises or for our faith. We can't draw from it, because those fuel stations soon are emptied. I think we got a pretty good semblance of that how the world's fuel stations can empty this past week, even to the point of people just grabbing whatever they could to fill with fuel, up to and including plastic bags. What a wild world we live. Isn't it nice that we're not of this world? We've got a greater fuel tank, and Jesus tells us what it is. It's His Word. His Word is truth. So while the world's foundations are sandy and manifold and they're rubbing up against each other and collapsing, we have a solid foundation of truth. And that is pretty extreme. Extremely great, because through that foundation of truth, we are made holy in the eyes of God. By faith alone, God has set us apart. And God's Word is what really counts, even while we are in this world. We sang it before. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. I mean, what else do we need to build our faith other than Word and sacrament? The promises from the very first time we received them at baptism, all the way through our lives as we came to church, as our relatives spoke them to us, maybe a father, a mother, a grandmother, a concerned relative, a friend at church, someone who spoke God's Word to us at just the right time, what we needed to hear, maybe just something we memorized growing up in the Bible. These are the words that set us apart and make us extremely great in the eyes of God, because they build us up in faith. They sanctify us. Therefore, stop setting up a permanent residence in this world. And if you need a good example, take it from Jesus. The Word was made flesh and made His dwelling among us. It says Jesus tented with us. Really hints at a temporary dwelling, because Jesus didn't come among us to be like one of us, to be one of us, in order to set up a retirement home. He didn't come into this world for all the insurance policies. Jesus didn't come into this world to eat, drink, and be merry and wait until, you know, natural long life took him. Jesus wasn't here for the workaholism. He wasn't here for all the attractive things that coax and woo our sinful flesh. Jesus wasn't here to erect equity this side of eternity. Jesus wasn't here just so that we could rely on man-made medicine. Jesus wasn't here so that we can put our trust in this or that idol that seems to save us. Jesus was here not to banish poverty in this life, because Jesus didn't come to stay. And so, neither do we. And those of you who are really struggling to be Christ-like, and sometimes you hear Christians talk about really trying to be as much like Christ as possible, we really need this vision, this long-term planning of what's coming eventually, what is finally going to happen to me. In this world, what seems to happen to me is I fall over, I collapse, and my skin, my flesh, my bones return to the ground into dust. But Jesus has such high hopes for us that He went and died for them. The Son of God prays for us so that we have this eternal attachment that nothing in this world, even if it should hurt our body, can't touch our soul. Nothing. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can harm you because of the Father's protection in answer to this prayer. You have an eternal home and incredible benefits because you don't belong to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.